The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Welcome, this is Joe Poe
and Mary Helen Deere,
hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay, our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 985 FM, Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill, R, Kiowa's for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, Susan Campbell, Kiowa Citizen, District 4, and Lawrence Spotted Bird, Kiowa Citizen. For today, we've got Jacob is going to give our opening prayer. Jacob, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good.
Here, later on in the show, we'll let you tell us about your trip, and we'll go into all of that. But could you give us the opening prayer, please, sir?
I certainly will. Let us pray. Ahodaki, Creator, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the breath of life and the opportunity you give to us to serve our people. We ask for your blessings as we try to meet the needs of all those who are confronting life's challenges. We ask you to be with our elders, especially this day. Protect them from this heat and give them a cool, comforting place to be. We ask you to be with those who are mourning, those who have lost loved ones and are journeying through a period of sadness. We ask you to especially be with those who are marginalized today, our people who are suffering on the edges of the community, those who are without food, without shelter, those who are struggling to maintain a good life. We ask you to be present in their lives through someone who will bring them comfort and strength to endure. We ask you to be with the leadership of our tribe. Continue to guide them and give them the strength to do the right thing and to work for the will of the people and not for self-interest. We ask you to be with those who are on the front lines and confronting this COVID virus. Be with those who are on the border about the vaccination, please. Help them to come to a resolution to keep others safe by allowing them to be vaccinated. And we ask finally to be with our servicemen and women, wherever they are, keep them comforted and give them the strength to carry on while they serve, sometimes in faraway places, be with their families and their relatives who are missing them this day. We ask this all in your light and love. Ahodaki. Aho.
Aho, Jacob, for that wonderful prayer, and we'll get back to you here later in the show. Thank you. We've been gone for a couple of weeks on Kiowa Talk. We had a replay where Cornell Sankey was our guest. And last week we were broadcasting live from Indian Hills, which is a first for Kiowa Talk. So I hope that you all enjoyed that. So next up, Mary Helen Deere will conduct the interview with Cheryl Poulaw. So we'll just go to that. Mary Helen, go ahead and take it away.
Cheryl, I'm glad you could join us today. With our interview, what we like to do with our elders is to ask, first of all, who's your folks? You know, that's whenever you meet somebody and you don't know them, that's one of your first questions, a point of references. Who's your folks? So tell me.
Okay, my folks, my dad was Francis Edmonds, and he was Wichita Caddo. My mother was Rosanna Starr, and she was Kiowa Cheyenne. And they called her Juanita. I don't know why, but her name was Juanita. And my grandma, Karen, talked about my grandma. She said she was Staple Ma, but everybody called her Eugenia. And that's what she was known by. Mm-hmm. But I was born 1946, so I'm a baby boomer. I was born right after the war. My dad was in the Army, and when he returned home, he lived in Oklahoma City the first 7 years of my life, and then after that, my mother got sick, and my sister got sick, so we brought them home to Carnegie.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Oklahoma City, some school on Walnut that I went the first couple of years, and then from there we moved to Carnegie and brought my mom and my sister home, and we went back to our tribal ways, you know, field meeting. Anyway, we all lived south of Carnegie. There was that whole south of Carnegie. There was the Eagle Hearts, Dane Cross, Dog of Moss, Eagle Hearts, Lil' Calf. We all lived right there by Bolton Church. There used to be houses all along there, and a big house. Anyway, I went to school at Cedardale then, and, you know, people talk about, oh, we had to walk miles to school. Well, we did. Across them cotton patches.
Was it uphill both ways?
Yeah, it was uphill. There was a big ditch, and it's kind of like a canyon go through there. And it's a hard trail, but we went to school every morning, all of us. We had bacon, salt pork, and biscuits, and egg sandwiches. And the Tulkoi kids would trade us their food for our biscuits, salt pork, and egg sandwiches. But that's where I went to school until I went to tell I we went to, we got sent to Riverside Elementary after that. And went to school at Riverside for 8 years, and then went to Conso because they closed Riverside at their elementary. So we went to Conso, and I went to school there 2 years. And my sister and my brother are behind me, like 2 years behind me. So I go alone, but when the courts took us, I told my grandma, I said, Grandma, tell them not to separate us. And they didn't. I took care of my brother and sister, but I always had to leave them. I was 2 years old. But I went back to Riverside. And then I went to Chilocco. And then I went to California. And then I got married. I came home because of the Vietnam War and got married. And that's all I did. But where when we were taken from our mother and father, they say it takes a village to raise a child. But it's not even the village was all my grandma. I had my grandma B. Davis and my grandma Mary Irene, grandma Valeria, Evelyn Flair, and I had my grandma Nell, and then my own grandma. And they had kids. They all had kids. So everywhere I went to school, there was always someone there close by. And they took care of us. We went to school at Concho, and that's when we lived with my Aunt Bella. And Concho was, it was all right. It was, you know, I had to adjust to every place I went to. But there was my Aunt Della. She took care of us. She'd check us out every weekend or, you know, and we'd go over there after school and play with all of our cousins, Frankie and Mommy, Brucey, Jerry, Francine. We grew up with him ever since we were real little. But that's who we at Della took care of. And then when I was at Concho in Riverside, my grandma Nell and Margie would come and get me.
Hey, Cheryl,
if I needed anything
Cheryl,
or Tom Bridges.
Cheryl, real quick. Everyone who's on this conference call, we can hear everything you're doing in the background. So if you're not talking, please put your phone on mute. Thank you. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I had a lot of aunts and uncles. And when we lived in Carnegie, that was good. We, you know, lived with our great-grandma, Maddie Humphrey. And that's when all the family got together all the time up there. And I stayed in the kitchen most of the time with my grandmas and my aunts. And I did work in the kitchen. And that's where I learned to cook. And that's where I learned a little Tyler, you know, listening to all my aunts and my grandmas laughing and talking. That was really, you know, that's what I knew.
You mentioned going back home and getting into Kiowa ways, and you mentioned the Native American church. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, my grandma Eugenia was married to Raleigh Peavy at the time, and he sang a lot. He was invited all over to sing, and he tied drums. But we went. The way my mom and my sister were being treated wasn't helping. And we brought them home, and they had peyote meetings all winter long. And I just, you know, we just, all that little, it's like a little village out there south of Carnegie, and it's like peyote meetings all the time. And that's what we did. And my sister's still here. That's why we moved to Carnegie. But we got taken away and got put in government school, and that's where I went the rest of my life. And
many young Indian people have had that same experience. How about your family? Did you teach them some of the things that you were taught when you were young about the Native American church and everything?
Yes, I do teach them. But I took them away to Oklahoma City and Norman, and that's where they went to school. And then when we come back to Anadarko, my husband got sick. He had Agent Orange. So when he came back home, we had to come home and start all over again here. But I always taught them, you know, work hard. And they did. They washed dishes at restaurants, and they would cut lawns, and they always had, and my oldest one was a newspaper boy. And he'd have to roll papers right after school, and he didn't have a bike. And I said, you roll papers, and you save your money, and I said, you can get you a bike. Mm-hmm. And he did. Well, wintertime, be cold, he'd be out there. But we, you know, I'd take him on his routes in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And he worked until he got his first bike.
Yeah.
And it's... then the rest of them, that's what they're doing. They all work now. They all have their own families. They all have their own lives, and they have their own vehicles, and they're all right. The thing with him that I was always by his side. I always went with him everywhere he went, and he worked hard in Oklahoma City. He was, go downtown, and he'd go downtown, and he'd go to the cleaners, and he'd get a job for a day, or a week, or how long. But he would work hard. We would walk, and he'd get him a job. We'd buy groceries, go home, and always have money for show, and to go to the movies, and, you know, he showed me to work hard. And if you couldn't get anywhere, you can walk. And that's what we did all the time, we walked. But now, but I got through that, you know, and he taught me to be strong, take care of my brother, and that's what I did. And, yeah. You know, after all my aunts and my uncles and my grandmas, they took care of me. In return, mm-hmm. When they got sick, I would go take care of them.
Yeah,
I love my grandma now. She broke her hip, and I go stay with her. And I lay by her, and she would tell me stories and talk to her. And Marge would come in there and say, "What y'all laughing at?" And Grandma would be telling me stories, and we'd be laughing. She'd be saying, you know, she'd tell us in Kiowa. Margie couldn't understand.
Yeah.
But they were hard workers. My grandma now was a nurse. Margie was a doctor. My Aunt Ray was a nurse. My Uncle Ron was a doctor, X-ray technician. He was. And, you know, I learned to work hard. If you want things, you got to work. I don't care if it's cooking. My mother was a bead worker, and she was a seamstress. So she bead worked, and she made things. And I learned to bead work. So that's what I do. I sew, and I bead work, and I cook. I like to cook.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I do. You know, that's what I learned from my grandmas and all my aunts.
I passed that on. Yeah, I was pretty much the same way. I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for my grandmother and my aunt. You know, because they were great role models and taught me a lot. So listening to you, I can really relate. And so,
you know, we never were. I never did. I mean, they never talked bad to us. They never said anything mean to us. It was always laughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was happy, laughing. And now you don't see that anymore. All you see is everybody angry, everybody talking about one another. We were taught to respect one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a different time. You know, these times are so different, and and anger and all that. It's too bad that we can't remember some of the good things we were taught and to continue to survive with laughter. So, Cheryl, we're coming to the end. We got about 1 minute left. Is there one last word you would like to tell the people out there?
People need to take care of the kids, your mother, your father, your grandparents. Take care of them. Because when they're gone, you're going to think about them.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your people.
Yep. And those are good words, Cheryl. And I want to thank you for being with us today and telling us your story.
Cheryl, thank you so much for being on. If you'll hang on the phone a couple more minutes, someone else may have a couple of questions for you. So just hang on a couple of minutes and listen to the show. That was Cheryl Poulaw, and she just conducted the Kiowa Elder of the Week. And we're going to move on to our next guest, which is Elena Quitone. And she's here to review events to date and what we've got planned about what's going on in current events with the tribe. Elena, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Elena, go ahead. I'll turn this portion of the show. And Cheryl Poulaw is still on the phone if you want to ask her a quick question.
Okay. Well, mainly I just wanted to let people know, you know, what's been going on and why the protests have been held. For one, we did have our first protest, and that was across from the complex last Wednesday, the 21st. And we had a good showing, but we still have people that, you know, we need more on board. We have a lot of people that are still in fear because of maybe possibly not receiving checks or not getting, you know, assistance when needed. So as many people as possible, we need you to show up for our next protest. And we are planning it, hopefully, to be Tuesday, and it will be at the CFR court site, the BIA there. I had originally thought it was going to be planned to be out by the regional office, out by Riverside. But we need awareness brought to us, the situation going on. And that's the whole point of these protests, is to bring awareness and to make people aware. We even have people within our own tribe that are still being snow-jobbed by our chairman. The propaganda that is put out by the tribe it just covers up, you know, all the actual ongoing, and it's a long list of injustices that our people have been, you know, are experiencing. And so, and I know Cheryl was part of that. And yeah. Cheryl, I think one thing that, you know, needs to be brought to light is the situation that happened with you. And I'm not real sure, and I'm sure people are wanting to know, if you want to mention that real quick.
Yeah, it was May 15th, 2019, when I was, my husband was still alive then, and we were on Facebook. Everybody was, you know, going back and forth, and then all I said was, let's do it. Now, I don't know, somebody said, we were just laughing and joking and terrorizing each other and, you know, just laughing. And then here comes the BIA police. And I said, I thought he was here. I said, oh, no, one of my kids got in trouble with something. You know, what is wrong? And my husband said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. So I answered the door, and he told me if I didn't get off Facebook, they were going to arrest me. And I said, are you? I said, am I under arrest? And he said, no. I said, well, then this is my freedom of speech on Facebook. And he said, well, if you know, I said, am I being charged with anything? He said, no, not yet. I said, do I need a lawyer? He said, yes, you do. I said, okay. I said, I have a lawyer. So I got in contact with my lawyer, and he's aware of what went on that day. And that, you know, that's my freedom of speech.
Right.
And the BIA, I said, this isn't BIA land. I said, they should have sent the city police over here if it was city.
Yes, they were overstepping boundaries.
Yeah. And I said, are you cross-baptized? He said, yes, I am. I said, okay, what's your name? And it was Guterray or some kind of name, Guterray or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your sharing that. And people need to know, you know, it's sad enough that our elders are not being helped through the different programs.
That's what really saddened me. I sat there and I looked around and seen all these elderly ladies sitting in that heat. And I know them being widows and them, you know, they're sitting out there. They want their house fixed. They want their lawn cut. They want help with their bills.
Basic. Right. That the tribe should be providing. So, but here we are harassing our elders.
Like they shouldn't be living like that.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's just one instance. And there are so many instances of injustice. And I'm going to go over a few of these things that are the reason. It's not just the money, although that's a large part of it. And that's kind of what, you know, got a few people together to start the protest because it was like the last straw. When people are not receiving assistance and the programs are not there, and yet we're told the monies are going into those, then that's why we are...
You can see these empty homes. In Anadarko, it looks like a ghost town.
Right.
You know, all them empty Indian homes. You go through Prairie Village. My house is in Prairie Village. I have a house out there. My sister has a house out there. It burned, but this house in Prairie Village, it's still sitting empty. It's because the plumbing was no good, the roofing's no good, and it's been sent to
I have my own relatives whose homes are in disrepair and in need, you know, but it's hopeless. People feel hopeless. And so, but it's much more than that even, you know. We right now have two branches of government operating.
It's the principle of things, you know.
Right,
exactly.
It's the principle. And I want people to know, you know, that this is why we're protesting. And it's going to take all of us together. Numbers can make a difference. And yet, there's a fear.
When all that money is gone, where are they going to be? They're going to be in the same situation still in because they didn't want nothing but that dollar bill at the time.
Right. So we have an atmosphere of fear within our, not just within our people, but within the employees up there at the complex. People are afraid to speak out. They're afraid to lose their jobs, for one thing. So they listen and they go along. And those that have been fired were those that were willing to speak up and to speak out and to let it be known and wouldn't go along.
I went to, when they changed that meeting from Anadarko to Lawton, I think I'll go up there. So I didn't know where it was at. So I took my son came and got me. He knows all these streets in Lawton. But he came and got me, and he took me up there. And I went in. There was nobody in there, and I was just standing there. There was one man in there, and I was standing there. And that Frida came out, and she looked at me, and she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Cheryl Pula." And she said, "Who invited you?" And I said, Jacob. and he was the one telling, you know, there was going to be a meeting here. And
a change,
Changed to Lawton. So I said, well, I'm in Lawton. I'm going to go up there. So I did. And she said, "You're not invited." And I thought to myself, she could have said, "Hello, may I help you?" Instead of saying, "Who are you? You're not invited."
They weren't expecting anyone to show up like that. And he surprised them. He took them by surprise. But
hey, Elena, we're going to extend out your time a little bit. So I know that you were planning on going over a timeline and sequence of events of our imperious leader, the chairman. So if you could get started in that, I think we can squeeze all that in.
Okay. All righty. Will do. One thing I was mentioning is that we only have our two branches of government, the executive branch and the legislative branch, functioning right now. We've been waiting for our judicial branch for 4 years, going on 5 years now. And, you know, that's obstructing justice. We also are missing our Department of Law Enforcement. All of that's in the Constitution. The Constitution is being followed when they want, you know, when our chairman wants to follow it, when it benefits him.
Yes.
But when it doesn't, then it's not being followed. So he's not following it right now in hiring people and firing people and budget. You know, in the budget, there's a lot of conflict of interest going on. There's still folks without the first round of COVID payments. And to me, that's contempt of court. And to me, we should be filing against that, those people who've not received the first round. And so he's interfered with legislature, who's trying to, you know, do a budget as well. But if you're kicked out of the complex and you are told by memo, you know, the employees not to talk to the legislature, how are you supposed to get an accurate budget from that? So, you know, also the forensic audit, it was passed. Our KIC passed that. It was a resolution, and it's been 2 years, and we still have no forensic audit, and that needs to be done so that we know what's going on with our money. So there's no enforcement of anything. Without our judicial system, there's no enforcement of anything constitutional. And so we are dependent on the CFR court. And we've had several cases go to CFR court. And many of those cases, well, all of the cases that have been, you know, have had to land there have not gone our people's way. They have gone our chairman's way. And it's sad, you know. Here we are, our chairman fighting. Right. It's our chairman. Right. It's our chairman fighting our people in court. Now, does that make sense? It doesn't. And yet it's happening. And so, you know, the fear, the atmosphere of fear, you know, continues. Our people are afraid to sign the recall. They're afraid because of they're not going to get their money, which is a very real fear. But in numbers, we can make a difference. And so I'm hoping that people show up Tuesday. Hopefully it'll be early in the morning when it's cooler. I think it's supposed to be a cooler next week than it was this past week. But also, I wanted to mention that our IT system, you know, it's deplorable. We have not updated that. We've had the money to do that. That should have been the very first thing that was addressed. We have enrollment, tag agency, election commission, our tribe. They all have separate addresses and names for people, when all of that should be consolidated into one database for our citizens, and so that there won't be so much confusion going on within the tribe. And then we our services,
not
like I
organized.
Said, right?
Not organized.
Yes. So this is why a group of our citizens took it upon themselves, you know, to check on the elders in District 4, at least. And what they saw was appalling. Susan Campbell spoke about it at the protest the other day. You've seen, you know, our elders without, needing wheelchairs, needing food, needing home repair, needing so much things. And that's, and yet, and they were so happy to see this group of concerned citizens show up when it should be our tribe that's out there, our chairman checking on these people and helping them in whatever way they need help. But no, our tribe is not there for them. So, you know, what's the point of our tribal government? Yes, what's the point of our tribal government if it's not there to listen to the needs of the people and to respond to those needs? So this is why we need to peacefully protest. We are not out to, you know, get anybody or to tear down, like I said, the gates or do any of that. We are trying to bring attention to our plight, because it runs deep. It's not just the tribe. It's the BIA. They are not listening. The CFR court, something's going on, and we want to bring attention to what's going on so that hopefully the right authorities can do something about it. We've had enough. And so that's why it's very, very important for as many people as possible to show up this Tuesday to the BIA office by the IHS clinic where CFR court's held. So we can bring attention to the CFR court next, because it's just not right. And without our judicial system in place, you know, where our hands are tied. So we have many injustices, you know, by our own tribe against our own people, and that's just, it's got to stop. And it won't stop if we don't care and we don't do what we have to do. And this is all we can do right now. Is nobody wants to be protesting. Nobody wants, you know, it is embarrassing
wants to
bring
to go out in that heat and
exactly.
sit out there, you know.
And we had a 90-something-year-old woman show up at our protest, and she endured the heat. You know, by noon we were ready. We had been there a couple, 3 hours, and we were ready to go. We stayed till 1. She stayed with us, and she was right there, and she stood up and spoke. And she talked about she had been arrested in another takeover of injustice, you know, in the 80s. Yes. And she said, out of all, and we've kept continual, you know, ongoing problems with our administration, but she says that this is the worst she's ever seen. And when an elderly woman stands up, endures the heat until the bitter end and says, you know, this is the worst we've ever seen it, by golly, we need to listen to her. We need to do something. And we're not just doing it for us. We are doing it for our future. We are doing it for our past, our kids, not as well, because, you know, we have so many elders that are descendants, you know, that have gone before us, that have worked hard for us to be here. And they would expect better. They would expect more from us. You know, we can't let this continue. And you know, so that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, they become complacent. You know,
they're
just used to doing without. And, oh, I'll get by when my check comes in. And they struggle to pay the light bill or get medication.
Exactly. So I just think that I feel that all things happen for a reason and that, you know, this is a new day. And, yes, we're dealing with things we've never had to deal with before. Things have changed. We're losing our ways, and that's really scary. Yes. And so we have to stand up. We're the elders now. We have to stand up for, you know, what our people would want us to stand up for and to continue those ways and those values that have been instilled in us and that we saw, that we, you know, from our elders when we were growing up, you know, we saw the prayer that went on and how important that was to our people and how, you know, if we can carry on with our traditions and our ceremonies in a good way, I just don't understand why we can't work together in a good way for, you know, with our political situation, you know, and that's why everything that we're doing is under the guidance of Doc E, and that's why we should all be praying so hard for our tribe each and every day in hopes that, and think positive, you know, you can't let any negative energy intervene you know, stop us because, That's just not going to help matters at all. And so,
Elena,
you know, we hope to see
Elena,
many people there.
We're closing out on our time. And I think the current the current situation is really bringing the light on your personal choice about who you're voting for. You got to stop voting for your relatives, and you got to stop voting the Mabé into office. You can see our entire tribe has been brought to its knees by three people. There are two of them are currently under recall. The third one will be under recall on September the 8th. So exercise your right to vote, vote carefully, and stop voting for the Mabé to be in our office. And that's why we're in the trouble we are. So, Elaine, I want you to thank you to come on. I'm going to invite you to come back anytime you feel like to make any important announcements.
Okay.
We need to move on to the legislative update. Cheryl, thank you for coming on, and we'll talk to you both again soon. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Our next part of the show is we've got Anita Johnson and we have Jacob Sotai, and they're here to discuss current events and give their respective legislative updates. So, Jacob, go ahead. You can go first.
Thank you, Joe. I recently had the opportunity to have two community meetings out west in Albuquerque and in Denver. And it was a very good gathering. We had almost 30 people in Albuquerque who listened to an update on the tribe, what is going on, and offered their insight, their input into what they feel are some of the issues that need to be addressed. And one of them was the data system that was mentioned by Ms. Cretone, that it is so inefficient and outdated that it really is not an effective tool for us anymore. And it's something I certainly concur with, that we need to do something to have our communication streamlined in order for our information system to be as effective as possible. And they also were one issue, and we know this is underlying within our tribe, the issue of the blood quantum. There's concern that that needs to be addressed, that either lowering the blood quantum to 1/8 or another method to be able to include more of our children who are ineligible to enroll because of the cord of blood, Quammen. So I think that that's something that we will be addressing here in the next few months. It was a good option to really share with them and to get to know them and to reconnect them. They're very grateful that I was able to come out and speak with them, to meet with them. I'm just looking forward to more opportunities. I don't need to go up to Lawrence, Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, Dallas, and other areas, Tulsa. So we'll be planning on visits to those communities as well to meet with our citizens there. But I'm grateful that we can have these opportunities so that we can get that input. That was one of the biggest issues, too, that they don't hear about things going on with the tribe. And you know, we in District 7, we've issued two newsletters now. Our limitation is that we have only 700 or so email addresses. And we had sent out a survey form last August to ask for our citizens to submit those addresses so we can build our database in District 7. We have over 5,600 constituents that are feel left out most of the time because they don't know what's going on with the tribe and would like to stay connected. So that's another tool that I want to see us broaden and implement more on a more wide-based effort. So we'll continue to do that. Other than that, we look forward to our next monthly session. We'll continue to meet officially. I do have a hearing coming up for the updated election commission ordinance. We will have an opportunity for comments and input on that, the bill that was introduced at our last monthly meeting and read into the record. So look forward to that probably within the next week or so. So that's where I'm at right now with our activities.
All right. Thanks, Jacob. Anita, it's your time. Go ahead.
Okay. I have just a couple of things. I want to say that I did attend the Oklahoma City powwow, and I really enjoyed myself. I went on Friday evening and just watched on and It has been 30 years since I went to that event, and it really has changed. And I was very surprised at the arena and all the surroundings there. Just were quite a bit different than what it used to be the last time I went. So congratulations to the Oklahoma City Powwow Club on all the improvements and everything that they've done there. Is just a completely different looking place. And I enjoyed myself there. I want to say that I'm very happy for the Kiowa people who are receiving their money from the ARPA funding. It isn't the sum that I had hoped they would receive, but it is a sum of money that some significance that they are receiving. So I'm happy for them. And I know that within time that things will straighten out. I have that total belief that things will straighten out and that beyond beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that we are being taken care of. I do know that. And so I'm not a bit worried about it. I do know that the Lord is taking care of us, and he will continue to take care of us. We go by his plan in our life, and that's how our people that got us to this point, that's how they lived their lives, and we continue with that. We continue in prayer, and that's how they, that's what they taught us to do, and so that's how we live. And that's what I'll say about our people, is that they're strong, and they rely upon prayer, and that's the way we conduct ourselves as Kiowa people. Had attended a grand opening of the charter school that will be opening up this fall, this school year, in Lawton, Oklahoma. It is the first charter school here in this area, and it's going to start with the kindergarten and first grade. And I attended that on Thursday evening. It wasn't Thursday. Sorry, it was Wednesday evening, and it was quite an event. The mayor of Lawton was there, and Dr. Cornell Peewardy from the Comanches was there. Jonathan Poway, who is the chairman of the board of the board for that charter school, was at that event, and the administrator of the school, Miss Cindy Romero, was on hand there. And they had a drum and a teepee. They took people on tours there. The Lawton Fire Department was there, along with the police department, to take the kids on a tour of their equipment and familiarize the little ones with the law enforcement that are in the city of Lawton, trying to build some a friendship and camaraderie rather than a fear between those two community children and the law enforcement and fire department. Excuse me. They served a meal, which was very enjoyable. And they handed out some of the material that they have. And this is a charter school that is for all tribes. It's not just for Comanches. It's for all tribes. And so it's going to be a first event. So it's they're looking forward to its opening. And I went through the school, and it's just cute. They have little bitty, real tiny little chairs, and the first time I've been in a tiny school with furniture like that in quite some time. And it was really something to see. But I saw a lot of elder people there looking, a lot of young people there to take us through and take us on a tour. So that was something to go to this week. And I think I might have been the only Kiowa that went to that. I'm not sure. But if I was, that's okay. I'll just pass that information on to our education person, Mr. Wheaton. But it is for all tribes, not just Comanches. I will be attending this coming week. I will be attending the National Indian Council on Aging which is a 2-year, every 2 years they have this convention. It's for the only one that's for elderly people. And it's being held at Reno Sparks at the Golden Nugget Hotel Casino Resort. This is the first one I'm going to go to in many, many years. But it's an event for elderly. And since I'm kind of elderly, I'm going. And hopefully I'll be able to get around. And usually I have my daughter with me, but I'm not going to take her this time. And so I'll have to rely on my walker to help me out. I'm taking a flight on Saturday, and I'll be back on next Friday. So I'll be gone all week. And asking people to pray for my safe travels. Mm-hmm. And we'll be working on the finalization of the budget, and then we'll be sending it out to the Miss Diana Hadley to post it on the website prior to us voting on it on the 14th of August. We'll be sending it out to each legislator prior to it coming to the vote at our regular session on the 14th, as required. So we'll see what happens on the 14th to that budget. And that's about all that I have, I do believe. All right. And I really thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Johnson. All right. So we've got a couple of more things that we need to discuss. I'm going to be talking to you now as the chairman of the Oklahoma City Powwow Club. I'd like to thank everyone all over the state for coming out and making it a successful event. Some of the elderly people there said that that was the largest Indian Hills powwow that we've ever had. You know, we had a 49 contest, we had turtle races, we had horseshoe tournaments, and we had it all. And everyone that attended was a big part of that. I also wanted to bring up the topic of the drum, hand drum that was raffled off. That was not an official Oklahoma City Powwow Club hand drum raffle. And the Powwow Club has intervened, as the drawing was never conducted. I have possession of the drum now. I will be organizing its drawing, and I'll be making that drawing next week live on the Oklahoma City Powwow Club page. So again, that problem has been rectified, and we will conclude that with a drawing of the drum sometime next week, as soon as I verify all of the entrants. Another thing that we needed to go over is there is a recall election going on against the chairman. Its due date is August 24th. It was filed May 27th. There has been significant progress to the point where we believe that we will obtain the 1,800 signatures needed. So those lists of people that you need to contact are all over the internet, and we will post them again so you can contact the nearest rep to you. I know that two people in Oklahoma City are getting ready to contact everyone in Oklahoma City, and we'll be going door to door to try to finish up this recall. Events. Mary Helen, you want to go ahead and announce the biggest event for this weekend?
The 31st Annual Oklahoma Indian Nation Powwow will be this weekend, July 30th, 31st, and August 1st at Concho, Oklahoma. Color guard is Buddy Bond, Master of Ceremonies, Alan Fletcher, Head Singer, Overton Sankey, Head Gourd Dancer, Kyle Spotted Horse, Head Lady, Ellen Sutton, Head Man War Dancer, Louis Sage, Head Lady, Tony Lynn Colity. Area directors are Chris Eagle Nest, and to be announced, another.
All righty. Another event we've got is slightly outside our territory, but it is the Memorial Pawnee Bill Rodeo, and it is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. And so today is the last day of that, and If you need any information, you can contact the Pawnee Rodeo, Ronnie Justice, at 405-880-7218. Again, we'd like to encourage everyone to get vaccinated. I know that the increasing infection rates due to the Delta variant, please contact your closest IHS clinic to find out how. Carnegie, you can reach them at 580-654-2533, Lawton at 580-354-5000, and Anadarko at 405-247-7900. Mary Helen?
And today's news announced that there are 1,800 cases in Oklahoma, the highest it's been in a long time.
We'd also like to note the passing and give our condolences to the Codicet family. Phoebe Codicet passed away last Friday, a week ago Friday, and we put her to rest Wednesday at the Rainy Mountain Cemetery. Also, we've gotten word that Aurora Boynty has passed due to heat exhaustion and two additional members of her family. Mary Helen, you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, two of her children are in the hospital. I don't know if they're still there, but the wake service for Aurora will be Sunday, 6 to 8, at the Ray and Martha's in Anadarko. The graveside services will be Monday at 2 o'clock at Cedar Creek.
All right. Thank you, Mary Helen. We would also like to thank our guests, Cheryl Poulaw, for being our Kiowa Elder of the Week. And we'd like to thank Elena Quitone for coming on the show to update us about all of the events that are going on in the tribe and in the protests that are planned. Thirdly, we'd like to thank our legislators, Anita Johnson and Jacob Sotai, who were here to discuss current events in the tribe and give their respective legislative updates. We would like to thank all of the Koigu people who took time to tune into our program on KACO 98.5 FM, Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.